If you would. Galatians chapter number 3 this morning, we're continuing with the thought, the just shall live by faith. Today, the theme of it is living by faith. If you have a pen, I want you to jot 3 words, and this will be the total thrust of the message this morning. These 3 simple words. Faith is mandatory. Faith is strategic. And I've got these a little out of order, but faith is foundational. Those are the 3 things that we're going to look at this morning. Let me remind you a little bit of what the Apostle Paul said. When Paul's life turned from the law to faith. Now remember, before he was saved, Paul was all about the letter of the law. He enforced the law strictly. He is given papers by the law, by the government, to uphold the law, and that's what he did with everything that was in him. But on the road to Damascus, things changed. And he said, Lord, what will thou have me to do? He recognizes God. It is his salvation experience. And Paul was saved by grace through faith, just like anyone in this room would be today. Now, Paul went on to maturity, and he said 3 times, he used the words, I am. Paul, first of all, said this, I am crucified with Christ. And we can go through conversation about what that means. But then Paul said this, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. And his life, his living after salvation, proves that he was not ashamed. And then he said to us, I am now ready to be offered. Now, he's writing Timothy when he said that. Probably some of the most familiar lines of Paul's writings come to us when Paul said this to Timothy. I have fought a good what? I fought a good fight. Then he said, I have finished my course. And then the last one, which we often read through or quote through, I have kept the faith. Paul said, out of everything that I've done since I was converted to Christ, I have kept the faith. Paul understood what it was to be a person resigned to living by faith. Now he's writing to the church of Galatia, and he is writing to them in chapter number 3, and I want us to begin in verse number 4, if we may, and you stand with us for the reading of the text verses respecting God's word. Notice what he calls them back up in verse 1. Notice what he calls them. Now, that's a kind and merciful way to start a chapter of a letter, isn't it? O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you that ye should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ had been evidently set forth, crucified among you. Well, what a greeting. Now, if you would, let's look at verse number 4 and forward. Have ye suffered so many things in vain, if it be yet in vain? He therefore that ministereth to you the Spirit and worketh miracles among you, doeth he by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? I'd have you to mark that. By the hearing of faith or by the law. Even as Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him for righteousness. Know ye therefore that they which are of faith, and I'd mark that again, there's that word, we're looking at faith, the same are the children of Abraham. And the scripture foreseeing that God would justify, and that's what we've been looking at, the just shall live by faith, that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed. So, then they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. Now, if you would, to verse number 11. But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident, for the just shall live by faith. The saved will live a different life. We say that so often in so many different ways, I think sometimes it soars right past our attention. When a person lives by faith, it's different than living by law. When a person lives by faith, it's different than living just in the natural realm of life. And let's learn this morning from this thought of living in faith, see some important truths to it. Let's pray together. Father, help us. May we be good students this morning. May we understand your word this morning. Help us as we read through verses of Scripture and as we compare verses of Scripture through the Bible. May it help us. Lord, we need to be a people in this day of uncertainty, in this day of upheaval and difference and diversity and prejudice and all the things that go on. We need to be a people who live differently. And we live differently by faith. So help us this morning as we study your word. May we glean from it. May we be strengthened. If there's one that needs to be born into the family of God, may that happen this morning. And those of us who are in the family of God, teach us to live by faith. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Be seated if you would. Living by faith is one of the highest privileges, and it's one of the highest guidelines that the Scripture gives us in our Christian experience. So you say, well, Pastor, what is so important about living by faith? Why is it that for the today, and Brother Knapp was here with us last Sunday, and two Sundays before that, we've looked at the same phrase, the just shall live by faith. How many different ways can it be taken apart? How many different ways can we look at it? If I say to you today that living by faith is one of the highest guidelines of the Scripture, then we need to see from the Scripture what living by faith does for us. If you would note these, because they are of importance, living by faith in our Christian lives allows us to please God. Do you realize that there is very little that you can do to please God? You have in your life anybody that you try to do something for, buy a gift for, that is a hard person to buy for? Well, understand this morning. There is little that we can do for God. But understand what the Scripture, grasp what the Scripture says. But without faith, it is impossible to please Him. So in this guideline of living by faith, it first allows us the opportunity and the privilege to please God. The second thing that it does is it helps us to sustain a distinctively Christian confession of faith. Again, we've said this morning already, and we repeat ourselves. The Christian life should be a different life. A life of faith should be a different life. The Bible tells us that we're this. We are a chosen generation. We are a royal priesthood. And we all can get a grasp of the last one. We're a peculiar people. Well, that's what we ought to be. Different. Now, do you realize today, and I shared with you a few weeks ago somebody that said something to me about our music and about our use of the King James Bible and several other of the ways that we do things in our church. They said, yeah, you hang on to all of those and Landmark Baptist Church will die with the Amish. It struck me sort of funny. And I thought, well, how am I going to respond? And here was my response. You know, the Amish haven't died. In fact, I wanted to say, hop in my car. And let's take about a four and a half hour trip into an area of the country that is predominantly Amish. And there's a corner. I can't tell you the coordinates of it or the street names. I'd like to take the gentleman and I'd like to sit at the corner. I know on one side of the corner there's a gas station. Over here there's some kind of outlet mall. And right here there's a big motel that looks like a boat. I'd like to sit right at that corner with him. Because literally hundreds and hundreds of tour buses every day drive by that one spot. And what draws them all there? Now, I know that there's some entertainment in the sight and sound and the theater and all that. But do you know what draws people to that area? the Amish. We had the privilege of taking Wyatt Durrett with us. Wyatt's been just sort of adopted into our family as well, and I appreciate his parents letting him do that with us. We bought some school supplies from a school that went bankrupt up in York, and so we drove him through that Amish area, and I wish you could have seen his eyes. He looked out the window, and there went one of those little gray buggies. And Wyatt had his camera up. You know they don't care for that. But Wyatt had his camera up, and he's taking pictures. He said, "I have seen my first Amish person." But it amazes me how literally millions of people a year go to see a group of people who the world says are peculiar. You say, "Well, Pastor, do you want to live like them?" No. I like air conditioning. They may not be as big as they once were, but they have stood by what they believed, and they are a people that are set apart. That's what living by faith does. It allows us to please God. It allows us to be distinctively different in a culture, in a generation where young men and young ladies simply want to blend into the surroundings, sort of chameleon Christians. We don't want our dress to be different because we look odd. We don't want our music to be different because we would be out of style. We don't want this to be different. Any person that is trapped in that, I'll make a bold statement to you today. Any person or any church that's trapped in that is not a church and are not a people living by faith. Living by faith allows us to please the Lord, to be distinctively Christian. It allows us to have secure eternal rewards in heaven. And it allows us to effectively face the challenges that lie ahead of us. And we face some staggering challenges as a people. But these aren't challenges that have not been faced in the Scripture. You know, my wife and I, we were coming out of the hospital seeing Lauren yesterday. And across from the hospital, they're building another unit for assisted living with the proficiency of memory care. And it's this huge building. My wife and I, for so many years, have traveled and gone into the nursing homes, the healthcare facilities, and these type things. And what we find there is lonely people. Our members that help in the Sunday afternoons and the different rest home ministries that we're in, when we go into those, you know what they find? Lonely people. Some of those people sit all week long in a facility that they are well taken care of. They are fed. And they are given their medications and they are provided for. But there is that loneliness that comes. But understand this. Paul, the apostle, knew what loneliness was after spending so much time in prison. Frustration. I remember that story of Hannah in the Old Testament when she stood outside of the tabernacle and the man of God looks out and he thinks the woman is drinking. And Hannah's frustration level was so high because she was barren and she so desperately wanted a child. And her actions of her frustration. Finances are a thing of uncertainty. And I remember reading in the Scripture where God's man was with the widow woman whose husband had died and left indebtedness. And she said, "The creditors are coming. They're going to take my sons. They're going to take everything we have. The rest of our lives will be lived out as servants, fulfilling the debt that my husband left." And the man of God simply said, "Well, what do you have?" And let me tell you this. I think it's one of the first things that God points us to. What do you have? And all she had was a little vial of oil that her husband had left. And the sons went and got many, many vessels. And the Scripture says, not a few. And poured and poured and poured. Doubt, of course, Thomas. Fear, Peter. Opposition, Daniel knew what that was. Misrepresentation, the Lord Jesus Christ knew what that was. Health issue, the dear lady with the issue of blood who said by her faith, if He didn't have to touch me on the head. He didn't have to hit me in the forehead and knock me over. All I have to do is touch the hem of his garment. She was living by faith. Insurmountable circumstances were Job's. Faith gives us the ability to respond with confidence instead of responding in fear. Now, some of these scriptures you can turn to. Some of them I would ask you to jot there in Galatians so that you can follow through. But understand this. Faith involves believing something God said. And a lot of times when we're not living by faith, we simply take God's word and we don't believe what God said. Now, you would say, now, Pastor, I believe what God said. Well, there are promises in the scripture that sometimes we look at and we don't believe. Or we say, well, God hasn't done this. It must not be. And we begin to doubt God. And that's a thing that Satan wants to do. That's the first thing that he did with Eve when the temptation was given. He questioned God's word. Hath God surely said? In the book of Romans in chapter 10, says, "And how then shall they call on him who they have not believed? And how shall they believe on him who they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher?" But in verse 17 of the same chapter, and we've already mentioned this morning, "So then faith cometh by hearing." If we're going to live by faith, that has to be heard. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So faith involves believing something God said. And faith also involves acting on what God said. Now, if I were to tell you in this hour, and they're not, okay? Understand, everybody turn your hearing aids up. They're not doing this. This is illustration. But if I said to you that today, Cracker Barrel is giving everyone a free dinner if you bring your church bulletin. There are some of you who would leave now. We had some folks in the church a number of years ago, and they left between Sunday school and church every service as long as I can remember. And I asked them why a couple times. And it's so that they could get to Shoney's before the Presbyterian church got there. But if I were to say to you this morning, all right, we have been contacted by Cracker Barrel or whatever restaurant you may want to eat at. And they said if you would bring your church bulletin that you could eat for free today. We would have probably a large number of people who would go eat for free today. But in order to find that out, you know what you had to do? You had to take what I said and follow what I said. And go where I said. For instance, I could say, but it's only the Cracker Barrel in Mechanicsville. You can't drive to Ashland. You can't go to Laburnum. You have to follow specific instructions in order to do it. Now, again, lest somebody had been asleep a few moments ago, it's not true. Because I don't want to get a call this afternoon from the manager of Cracker Barrel and say, listen, we had 20 of your people show up today. And you said that, so we have a bill down here for you that we created from all 20 of these people that ate for free today. Because you said in your sermon, well, how are you going to find out? You're going to have to, some of you can step back and say, yeah, he's just saying that. That's not for real. And do you realize this? You could do that and miss out on the opportunity that was available to you just because you doubted. Just because you were not willing to follow through. Now that's just a very simple, worldly type example, but it brings a spiritual point. Sometimes the Bible gives us things that we're to do. If we simply follow them by faith, well, what would this mean that you had to do? That means this morning, first of all, you have to have a bulletin before you leave. And it means that you have to go to the designated place. And it means you have to present. Now, you could go in and you could go over there. And I've done things like this before. You ever gone in somewhere and you had a coupon or a discount card and it's in your pocket. And the bill comes and you pay the bill and then you go, oh, no. If you go over there this morning and you order your lunch, this afternoon you go and order your lunch, and this were all true, and it came to the end of your meal, and you left this in, and you didn't say, I was in church this morning, and here's my bulletin this morning, and you didn't get the discount, guess what? You missed out. And I promise you this morning, in a very truthful way, there's a lot of God's people missing out living by faith in obedience. What does Hebrews chapter 11 tell us about faith involves acting on what God has said? Hebrews chapter 11 will be in next week solely for this service. But verse number 13, these all died in faith, not having received the promises, but seeing them afar off, and were persuaded of them and embraced them and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. James chapter 2 says it a little bit different. Even so, faith, if it hath not works, being alone, is dead. But, in James chapter 2 and verse 20, but wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead. In other words, all the scripture in the Bible can remain in the Bible, and we not live by faith, and we miss the very promises of God. Then also, there's daily interactions. Christians are to live by faith and trusting God's word. Oftentimes we live in fear, we live in doubt, we live in worry, we live in apprehension, we live in inactive service, we live in self-confidence and all of these things. And when we do that, we're living as if there is no God. Now, very, very truthfully, for the last several days, we have been praying for Lauren. We have seen the signs coming on of this issue. Those of you who know our family and have been here very long, you know Remy is now 2 years old. And when he was born 4 weeks early. And Lauren spent 9 days in the hospital. Both of these pregnancies have been high-risk pregnancies. And we knew this going in. This baby, Barrett, will probably be the last child that Justin and Lauren have. Not because they don't love children, but because Lauren's body is had difficulty for a long time. And the doctors have told them, have the kids that you're going to have, do it quick. Now, we've been praying for several days this week. The man in me, the flesh in me, desires to worry. I had something this week. You say, preacher, what'd you do on vacation? For the first time in a long time, I slept through the night. I had all of my kids in one place, in one time zone. My nights are broken up in prayer because I know when Justin is working as the police officer and I know when John is getting up and getting into service and all the. And when I, last Sunday night, when I lay down to go to sleep, for the first time, and I can't tell you when, I slept through until the sun was shining in the window the next morning. That doesn't just happen. I'm your pastor, but I'll tell you this, there's a streak of man in me. There's a streak of the flesh in me. And I worry through a lot of things. I have my worries, and then quite truthfully, I have your worries too. And God sustains us through all those. But sometimes I find that I have difficulty living by faith. And when I don't live by faith, I'm living as if there is no God. I was praying for Lauren this morning as I drove into church. And I'm praying for God's will to be done. Now, you know what I'd like to pray? Lord, let my will be done. You know, stop all of this. Bring her blood counts back into where they're supposed to be. Poor little girl. Her body is so swollen. Her feet and her eyes are just so puffed out. And they gave her yesterday, her blood pressure was 160 over 115. And they started massive doses of magnesium to try to bring it back down. And it did. And when we got there, the nurse said, when you go, and we had Remy, when you go in quiet. Now, I understand quiet. I think my wife understands quiet. Remy? Not so much. But going quiet, because she had a massive headache from coming back out of the magnesium. Now, what I want to pray is, God, let my will be done. The doctor's saying 37 weeks. The father-in-law is saying 40 weeks would be fine. I told her that this week. I said, Lauren, you can carry this baby to 40 weeks, and I won't be offended at all. She's to that stage. She's ready to be done. And she wants the baby safe, but she's ready to be finished. How many times I've given you one to be transparent with you this morning? How many things are there in your life right now that you're living as if there's no God? There's something going on in your life, your body, and your family, and your finance, and all of these areas. And rather than living by faith, and I get it. I get it. It's hard to do, to just let go. I pulled up at the airport to drop John off on Friday afternoon. I'm going to tell you something, folks. College was bad and all that kind of stuff. Those of you who have not been there yet, let me tell you this. It doesn't get any easier. And he got out of the car and he put his backpack on. And we hugged and into the airport that he went. There's something to the just living by faith. Now, let me tell you what I find. When I live by faith, I'm living as if God is in control. And I know it's a trendy phrase. Oh, God's in control. Easier said than lived. I got it. But the just shall live by faith. I gave you those three words. Let's start with this one this morning. It's afternoon, 2 minutes after. The just shall live by faith, first of all, is foundational. That's the very base of who we are. It's foundational. Romans chapter 1 says, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. We covered that just a few Sundays ago. Who must live by faith? Romans chapter 3, we know a number of those verses that are in that chapter. But it says there in verse 20 down through about verse number 28, therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight. There's not one of us here this morning who is saved by anything that the law has done. If you're trusting your baptism, you're lost this morning. If you're trusting your good works, you're lost this morning. If you're trusting some labor that you do, even a good work, you know, the New Testament talks to us about being weary in well-doing. You can be doing well-doing in good deeds and you still be lost. You're not saved by the work of church membership. If you're trusting being a member of Landmark Baptist Church to get you to heaven, you're not going. Notice what he says. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested. And he goes on to say, which is by faith of Jesus unto all to end upon all them that believe. Verse number 28. Therefore, we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. So the foundation of the just shall live by faith. The whole foundation of our spiritual life and our biblical belief rest on the bedrock of faith. It's foundational. Romans uses the word the just so many times. The just ones, the justified ones. Romans chapter 5 and verse number 1. Therefore, being justified, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, doubting our salvation can oftentimes stem from our failure to believe God. If you're here this morning and you have sometimes issues of security, assurance of your salvation, I say to you that one of the sources of that problem comes with a lack of faith. Trusting God can keep you. Trusting God can save you. So faith and living by faith is the very foundation of the beginning, and we always put the foundation in first. The foundation has to, there's no building that I'm aware of that you can build, and you start with the roof. You always must start with the foundation. The beginning of the just shall live by faith, the beginning of that is buried and is built on the bedrock then of our faith in God. It is foundational. Number two, living by faith is mandatory. Now, I do want you to find your place in Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5, just over. Living by faith is mandatory. In Galatians 3, verse 11, it said, but that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God. It's evident. Now, we looked at who, the just. Now let's look at why. Galatians chapter 5, beginning in verse number 5. For we through the Spirit wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. Verse number 6. For in Jesus Christ neither circumcision availeth anything nor uncircumcision, but faith which worketh by love. Now come to verse number 16, if you would, please. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary one to another. Now that explains to us the difficulty of daily living by faith, because we have a faith nature and we have a natural man. And the mixing of the two is almost like oil and vinegar. Water and fuel, water and oil. It's almost like they push each other apart, because the flesh and the Spirit are totally different. You remember when the Scripture said this? The Spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Any of you men in your life right now, you thought back, you can think back and you say, oh, I wish I could do what I did when I was 19. I had a preacher tell me not too long ago, he had gotten his concealed carry permit. He said, I do a lot of missions conferences. He said, I got into a bad situation at a motel. My wife was with me. There was a large group of men involved in this thing. And he said, I realized this. I was no longer 19 years old. And I could not protect my wife. And thus, he took actions in regard to that to be able to protect. You know, there's a lot of us that can't do what we did when we were 19. Because things change. Why? Now, are you willing to stand up? You willing to stand up and protect your wife? Sure you are. The Spirit's willing. Flesh is weak. There's two differences. In our spiritual lives, these verses are saying the same thing. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary one to another, so that they cannot do the things that ye would. Now, verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. Now, look at the last phrase of that verse. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Living by faith has to be foundational. We have to understand that it is mandatory. Foundational said the just. Mandatory says shall live. In answer to the question, why must a Christian live by faith? Because it's the only way to live and to grow. Romans chapter 7, verse 18. For I know that in me, Paul says, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform it, that which is good, I find not. He says in chapter 8, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. So Paul gives us some advice on this. We do not become spiritual by rituals or ceremonies or Christian checklists. Now, we could go to Galatians 3, verse number 14, 4 and chapter, and verse number 6, 5 and verse 5, verse 16 through verse 18, verse 25, and then again in chapter 6, verse 1. We will bear fruit is the last thing that we read in the Scripture. we will bear fruit of the Spirit. Now, Galatians 5, 22, 23, but the fruit of the Spirit is, and we read those off, and in that is faith. We are to walk in the Spirit so that we avoid the sins of the flesh. So, foundation, living by faith, is foundational. Living by faith is also mandatory. Now, what happens if we ignore the mandate? Don't expect the privilege. That silly illustration. Back to that. You go to a Cracker Barrel. What if you go and you don't have your bulletin? You don't get the blessing. What if you go and you don't say anything? Are they supposed to look at you and know you were in church this morning? Are they supposed to be able to tell? No, you have to follow the mandate. Living by faith is foundational. Living by faith is mandatory. And last today, living by faith is strategic. Strategic. Remember, we had a president who used to call it strategery. Hebrews chapter 10. What do we mean by strategic? It has to be planned, prepared for. Now, the just shall live by faith, but if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. Now, in Hebrews chapter 11, where we will be next Sunday, how are we to live this strategic by faith? The strategy answer to the question is, how do we live a genuine Christian life and face all the challenges and all of the difficulties and do that in an effective way? Not to have you turn there, but Hebrews does mention in 11:5 a man by the name of Enoch. Let me give you some names just to sort of preface where we will be next Sunday. The Bible says to us that Enoch was translated that he should not see death and was not found because God had translated him, for before his translation, he had the testimony that he pleased God. Now, we started some 25 minutes ago. We started with this. We started with this thought. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. And when we read in Genesis and in Hebrew about Enoch, it says that he is a man who pleased God. What does that mean? He lived by faith. Noah. Would you grasp this? Just Noah and his faith. There is a modern day ark that is nearing completion. Ken Ham has set this thing up, and I've seen the photos of it. Tremendous in size. 520 feet, 8 inches long. 86 feet, 9 3/4 inches wide, and some 52 feet, 8 inches tall. Ladies, how'd you like for your husbands to start working on something like that in your backyard? You see, it wasn't just faith in the community. Noah had to have faith when he went in the back door, in his home. Did Mrs. Noah understand it all? No. Remember this, God had not spoken to her like he spoke to Noah. And Noah had to, and men, this ought to teach us something about our communication with our wife. Somehow Noah had to convince his wife by faith that God had spoken to him, and he's building this behemoth thing in the backyard that who would it ever be any good to? Can you imagine her standing there washing dishes, looking out? How's he ever going to get that out of here? Oh, he'll stop. About 90 years later, she's looking at it and said, boy, this thing just keeps growing. Somehow, he had to share his faith that he was living by with his wife. Now, can you imagine him telling the boys? All right, now the rain's coming. The 120 years have passed. Nobody else has listened. But God said, now it's time to get in the thing. The sons and the wife had to follow by living by faith. Dad, you're a nut. You are crazy. We told you back when we were 60 years old, 120 years ago, we told you you are a nut. And we still think you're a nut. We're not getting on that boat. How do we know it'll do what you said it's supposed to do? Somehow Noah had translated his faith to his family. That's where it begins. Enoch lived by faith. Noah lived by faith. Abraham, a man of prestige, of leadership and abilities. Life was good where he was. And then God spoke to him. And he didn't say, I want you to go three blocks, take a right and go here and this is it. Didn't give him any instructions. No GPS with this. Just go to a place that I will show you. So he goes in and he talks to his wife and says, God is moving us. And God does that sometimes. God is moving us. Well, where is he moving us to? I don't know. Well, Abraham, listen, I can't explain it all. I don't understand it all. I just know this is what God is doing. This is what he said. Remember that day when he took the knife and his son in the wood? His son looked at him and said, I see the wood and I see the fire and I see all of this. Where's the sacrifice? And he said, God will provide himself. Now listen, when he put his son on that altar and drew the knife and was ready by faith. Now let me side note this if I can. Why did God not require him to kill his son? Because the blood would be insufficient to do what was necessary. Moses sees something as God speaks to him that is incredible. Moses is given an assignment to go back to Pharaoh. I heard it said of a church service not long ago where the pastor had said, I'm about to close, I'm about to finish and all that. And one of the little boys in the church service thought it went on and on. And he told his mom, he said, I wish our pastor had the same message that Moses had. And she said, what was that? And he said, well, his message was let my people go. But Moses, think of Moses standing before Pharaoh. Pharaoh was a grandfather to him. I like it or not, however we want to slice it up, Pharaoh was a grandfather for years to him. Pharaoh had put his life into Moses' life. Moses had been educated and trained. He ran the halls of the palace. All of these things Moses did, and now God said, I want you to go to Pharaoh, and I want you to say, let my people go. Moses knew what it was to live by faith, to be justified by faith. And we could go through others in that hall of fame. In spite of the loneliness, in spite of all of the doubts, in spite of all the fears, and all of the opposition, what we're given in the book of Hebrews and throughout the scripture are people who learn to live by faith. We live at a time where Christians ask a lot of questions. There's so much uncertainties. We live truthfully, oftentimes, as if God does not exist because we live without faith. The just shall live by faith. And can I put just, I don't think I would be wrong or sinning in doing this. Can we put something out beside that? I hope you would allow this to be put there. The just shall live by faith and be victorious. We sang earlier, faith is the victory. A lot of Christians are defeated in their spiritual life and in their physical life because they haven't learned yet to live by faith. And because we don't live by faith, we're living as if there is no God. God is not in control, and we're discouraged, and we're beaten, and we lose our victory. The just shall live by faith and be victorious. The just shall live by faith and have peace. The just shall live by faith and be happy. There are so many things happening in our Christian lives that show us many of us are failing to live by faith. Paul starts out to these people of Galatia. Notice how he greeted them in that first verse. Not a grand greeting at all. But in the book of Hebrews, and I want to finish with this verse this morning. Chapter 4, it says, seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we, yet without sin. What does that mean? The loneliness, the depression, the discouragement, all of these emotions that we could list off today, our Lord experienced them all. Yet without sin. Then here's what he says. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and grace to help in the time of need. He says it again in Hebrews 7, verse number 25. Wherefore he is able to save them to the uttermost that come unto him by God, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for us. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 21. I have not written unto you because you know not the truth, but because ye know it, and that no lie is of the truth. Oh, there's so many things that we could look at this morning and keep this going. But Hebrews chapter 11, we'll look at the fourth text that says this: the just shall live by faith. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. Would you join me in asking ourselves this question this morning? I am living by faith. First of all, am I just? Am I saved? The just shall live by faith. Number one, am I saved? Am I just? And if so, how am I? If you are here this morning and you're saved, you are just. You are just through the blood of Jesus Christ and no other means. If you're here this morning trusting something else, you need to quit that and trust Jesus so that you'll be justified. The just then, those of us who are saved and know Christ, the demand of us, its foundation, it's mandatory that we live by faith. If we're going to be victorious, if we're going to be happy, if we're going to have peace, we have to live by faith. And so would you in your seat this morning, we're going to pray in just a moment. We'll sing a verse of invitation together. If you're here this morning and you're unsaved, on the very first verse, what you ought to do is stand and come forward, allow someone, man with a man, lady with a lady, to take the scripture and show you by faith how Jesus can save you. If you're here this morning and you've already put your trust in the Lord Jesus, but boy, your faith wavers. Whether at an altar or with a Christian friend that's here that's capable of encouraging you through Scripture, you ought to come this morning and say, I'm just. I've got the foundation of it, but the mandatory part, boy, I've not been quite there as I need to be. But Father, would you help us this morning to do what's necessary and needful for us to be in a place that we can enjoy the benefit and promise of your word by living every day in faith. When the high waters come, when the adversity comes, when the struggles and the difficulties, they're still living by faith and allowing you to prove yourself to us. Lord, help us in our living by faith to reveal and show the world that God is alive and real to us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Stand with us if you would. 617. 617 in your hymnal. We'll sing this verse together. If God puts in your heart to make a decision this morning, you ought to do it. Don't leave here without doing business with the Lord. Let's sing together. To the heart of God. Near to the heart of God. Redeemer sent from the heart of God. Lord, please help us to live this day and the days of our life trusting you. Teach us through your word.